Hello and welcome to episode 202 of Teacher Tech Talk. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, the Digital Learning Specialist for the Tyngsborough Public Schools in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts. We're going to break some new ground today by discussing how technology factors into the training of new teachers. We'll talk with a college professor who supervises student teachers, and we'll talk about how best to prepare the teachers of tomorrow to use the technology of today. All right, I'm going to introduce my guest for today's episode, Dr. John Brown, who is a professor at UMass Lowell. Welcome, Dr. Brown.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your academic history and what you do over at UMass Lowell?
Great. So I was a high school English teacher for 19 years and in two different schools. One was a public school, one was a private school. And now I'm since 2012, I've been full-time at the university teaching mostly English teachers how to teach English. And I'm an associate professor there in the College of Education. I teach a number of different classes about curriculum and instruction. And I used to teach two, but now I only teach one class on education technology.
All right. So it's a good thing you're on this podcast. As you're helping to train the next generation of educators, and I should put in here that Dr. Brown and I have worked together on several occasions with student teachers. They've been in my classroom. He's been their supervising professor, and I've been their supervising teacher. So as you help train the next generation of educators, what do you tell them about implementing technology in the classroom?
So that's a great question. Most of them come looking for specific tools, ed tech tools. How do I use, you know, the Google Suite? How do I use, you know, these kind of single, like, Edpuzzle? I don't think that was bought by Google yet.
No, not yet.
Or something like that. And that's not where I want to start with them.
It should
whether
be.
They're in my class or whether they're, you know, in my technology class, or whether they're I'm teaching them in general, like how to become an English teacher, and they need general knowledge. I'm teaching a methods class in curriculum and teaching for English. Or I'm supervising them in the field. I try to explain that it's not the technology, it's what you do
with it. It's what you do with it.
And oftentimes, teachers feel really scared about the technology.
Oh, yes, they do.
And they feel scared for two reasons. One is they're afraid of what the students are going to do with it. They're going to bully each other with it. They're going to hurt each other, and the teacher's going to get in trouble for that. Or they're going to go after they're going to record the teacher. Or they're going to get the teacher. The teachers are afraid they're going to get in trouble, probably because they get in trouble a lot.
One of the other thing that teachers, that I've seen teachers are a little apprehensive about, is if they're unsure of the technology, if they're not 100%, they're afraid if they make a mistake that the students are going to,
that's the other thing.
You know, like sharks in the water, they're going to smell blood and they're going to go after them. And what I try to explain to teachers is that I have found that it works the other way. When I was back in the classroom and I was trying all these new things, I'd say to kids, hey, I'm going to try this. If it doesn't work, we'll move on. If it does, let's talk about, you know, does it help you or does it not help you?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's another thing that kind of...
Well, technology helped me realize that in general. Like, when I started teaching, I was one of those teachers that, like, I don't want to make a mistake. My students are going to laugh at me or they're going to think I'm not a good teacher. And now I'm happy to admit that I don't know lots of things. And I'm a college professor. I'm supposed to know even more, I suppose. But technology gave me the free pass, because the students gave me the free pass. I realized when there was an early conversation, it was probably about 15 years ago, about who's a digital immigrant and who's a digital native. And that's when I gave myself the free pass. I said, oh, I'm an immigrant, so I don't know the language. They're very familiar with this stuff. I'm not. So I started asking them, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I'll give you an example. We when I was a high school teacher, we weren't allowed to use YouTube.
Right.
Yeah. So, because the administration was afraid that kids would be downloading porn. Not downloading. You couldn't download it yet at the time. that they'd be watching porn or something and something would be inappropriate. So I wanted desperately to use YouTube in class because I was teaching Shakespeare. There were so many amazing Shakespeare videos. I didn't want to have to get special permission, so I asked the students, could you help me hack around the... And it's this is a voc tech school, so they're very technologically savvy, even more technologically savvy than your average kid. And this is, you know, a long time ago. This is back in, you know, like 15, 20 years ago. And they said, oh, sure. And they did, in 2 seconds, they had me hacked around it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what else can you guys do? And they showed me lots of things that were both, like, that was technically inappropriate, but we were using it for Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And even downloading videos. I didn't know how to download a video back then. I think you can download right off YouTube now, right?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, but there's all sorts of, like I'm sure they showed you, there's all sorts of ways around it.
Like, there was something called KeepVid back then.
Yeah.
And I said, how do you download a video onto your computer? And they showed me. And I said, and I'd say, well, I want to make an instructional video for how to get into the server. Because some of the students here always forget, like, what are the steps to getting into the server? And I give them instructions, written instructions, and they don't read them.
Yeah.
But if they had a video they could click on, and they had me going, okay, and showing them.
Yep.
Like a screencast. Mm-hmm. Part of it would be a video, and part of it would be a screencast. And they showed me. And the more that I asked them questions about it, and they often didn't know. But they go, we'll tell you in a minute.
We'll find out.
We'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah.
And I never had the apprehension about technology, but that dissolved it for everything.
Yeah.
Like I was fine to like ask questions about anything. Like, how do you get to do this? How do you do that?
Now, how did you find? I mean, you were a veteran teacher at the time. How did you find that? You revealing that ignorance. Lack of that ignorance.
Ignorance.
How did the students then react to you, considering that you revealed to them that you don't know everything?
It was great, actually. They felt like, for once, I was evaluating them for something, and that we were more partners than I was like their boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I never wanted to be their boss. And sometimes it made for a difficult conversation when some of the students had a difficult time following directions on something else. Like, I want something, but we're cool now, Brown, and you can't have it. Sorry. Because we're not friends,
right?
But I am being friendly with you, but we're not friends. So I would maintain that boundary. But when it came to curriculum, I could even ask them, like after a test, I'd say, you know, I'd give them a traditional paper pencil test on a, let's say it was a Friday, on some curriculum unit we did. And I'd say, were there any questions in that test that weren't fair?
Fair, right.
And they'd go, oh yeah. Number 4 was not fair. Well, can you tell me why? And they're all telling. And then I look at it and I do an item analysis. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that would save me a ton of time in trying to like check the validity of my test. And they thought it helped my relationship with them.
Yeah, I agree.
They thought that I was a better teacher, not an ignorant screwball. Right, because I was asking. Because I asked. Because I cared. It didn't mean that. But they also had. They had higher expectations of me. I used to actually have meetings where I would say, let's talk, be honest with me, how am I doing? And I'd have them evaluate me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with the technology, but I could then talk to them too and go, I noticed that you folks are like sometimes not doing what you're supposed to do. But they would listen to me because I was listening to them.
Right.
And like they might be on Craigslist looking for rims for their car. Because if they can hack around YouTube, you know, the firewall for YouTube, they can hack around that.
Yeah.
And I had remote desktop, which I don't know if that's still around, but
yeah.
And I used to spy on them. And I wouldn't want to be punitive. I would say, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. Let's talk about why you're doing that. And they'd say, because your class is boring, Brown. Like, let's talk about how to make it less boring.
How to make it more exciting. Yeah, I think by asking their opinion, by asking them how to do something, to show you something, there's no better way to show respect for someone than asking, hey, can you show me how to do something? And I really found that that helped me a lot. I mean, I was probably in the same position as you were when I started using the technology. I'd been around for a while. And, you know, I was like, yeah, we'll show you how to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I really think that that helps a lot as far as, I would think with new teachers, it would be helpful to say, listen, you don't have to pretend that you are the all-knowing, all-seeing, you know, being. You're not that way. They know you're not that way. And the sooner you figure that out, the better things are going to be. All right, so I believe I have solved the poor audio quality problem. I had neglected to hook up the soundboard to the computer, so we were coming through the computer microphone instead of our nice Audio Technica microphones, but I think we've solved that. So my next question is, part of your role is observing student teachers in classrooms in different schools. What kinds of trends in technology are you noticing during your visits?
Well, it's interesting because I was a public school teacher for a long time in one school, and I did not know what other schools did. I had no idea. I was just in my school. My wife's a school teacher, so she might tell me what's going on in hers, but I wouldn't see it. But now I'm in a dozen or two dozen different schools and almost as many school districts, and they all are very different. They use technology differently. They have different levels of technology. But most importantly, some districts have superior professional development for their faculty, and including like your role, a right. technology integrationalist. Some districts don't have that, or that person is not a former teacher like you.
Yeah, that was key for when they asked me to fulfill this role, is that I was a teacher, so that I'm seeing both sides of the equation.
Here, one example is we had like a library aide at one school who was not, had never taught, but she knew the technology well, but she didn't know how to help the teachers very well because she'd never been one before.
Right.
So that's a problem for those districts that don't have that. Like Burlington, for example, is probably pretty well known as being a district that has a lot of technology, but they have a lot of very high-quality professional development, including a student help desk where the students are helping, like we were talking about before, but almost, I think it says an elective class.
Yeah, so right? I've seen...
They help teachers with both technology that's not working, they need to fix it, or helping some of the students are more capable of even helping the teachers learn to use it in ways that'll improve instruction.
Yep. How do you, when you're in your class teaching these would-be teachers, how do you address the classroom management challenges that teachers may face regarding technology? Because that's a big, still a big sticking point, even for veteran teachers of many years. What do you say? Do they even see that as they're coming up? Do you address it?
So you're talking about the intersection between where technology and classroom management meet. So if you have a good relation, I found if you have any teacher has a positive relationship with students, that the technology will actually exaggerate that positive, and it'll become even more positive. If you have a negative relationship with students, it'll exaggerate that. So what I tell my students, and this isn't about technology, but it applies to it. They'll do what you do generally. So if you don't listen to them, they won't listen to you. So if you're like texting your friend on your phone, they'll take out their phones and text their friends. Or if you're checking your email during an activity, you give your students an activity to do, and you're not watching them do it, you go over and you check your email because it makes a noise or you noticed it came up, they'll be equally distracted. So whatever you do, they'll do. And speaking of Burlington, Patrick Larkin, who's the assistant superintendent over there, one of the forward thinkers in their technology plan, we were talking about bullying one time because I had him as a guest speaker in my class, and he said, we don't have that much bullying because we have, and he goes, now I'm not taking credit for this, it's been this way for a long time, a positive school. And so where there's a severe cyberbullying problem, there's already a severe bullying problem. So it's about ethos.
It's about a school culture.
Right.
Yeah.
But technology will catalyze it. It'll exaggerate that and also make it much more public.
Yeah.
And it'll it'll allow there to be evidence collected of it, which is scary, which makes people nervous. But if, like, one of my students in my class that I'm teaching right now, which is a technology class, was saying, well, I don't want my students to have smartphones, because we had a whole week on smartphones, because they'll record me teaching, and then they'll record a mistake I might make. And they've probably seen YouTube videos where teachers embarrass themselves. And my response to that was, I don't have a problem with that. It's okay if you do, but I don't have a problem with that, because I don't do anything that I wouldn't mind
someone
being
else
on
see.
The 5 o'clock news. Right. Like, you could put anything I say, even if I drop an F-bomb on the 5 o'clock news, it's, people can be like, well, it was just an F-bomb. He wasn't saying it at somebody.
Right.
He wasn't, like, hitting somebody. Like, if you can accumulate that evidence on me, then you should fire me. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
If I make a mistake and you catch it and put it out of context in the 5 o'clock news, that's not going to get me fired. Not likely.
No.
So I'm like, bring your, you know, like, mobile devices in the class, like your own personal, bring your own. Some schools have a ban on that.
Yes.
A lot of my students in my class who are, because my technology class that I'm teaching now is full of currently practicing
student teachers.
Teachers like us, like Brenda or like your colleagues here at Kingsborough, right? And then I also at the university have pre-service teachers. So I have two different audiences, but when I'm talking about the in-service teachers, they tell me stories about my administration won't let us do this and my administration won't let us do that. And I'm like, that's too bad. And they, well, we agree with it because, and it's very restrictive. And the more restrictive you are of students, the less they're apt to learn how to be appropriate on those devices.
One of the challenges that, and now we have in our district, at least at the high school, it's a BYOD environment, so they're asked to bring a laptop, Chromebook, something like that, and we allow the use of phones in the class at the teacher's discretion. And when I was in the classroom, I was one of the first teachers that said, hey, you know what, and not to, you know, pat myself on the back, but let's use this technology they have in their pockets. And I use things like Poll Everywhere and Kahoot that allowed them to use their phones for educational purposes. And one of the challenges that some of the high school teachers are facing is, well, it's a distraction, that the technology in the classroom is a distraction, and how do we deal with the distraction? And they come to, and they ask the technology people about it. And my response to them is, it's not a technology problem. It's a classroom management, it's a classroom culture problem. And all I think back is when I was in high school back in the 1980s, when I was distracted, I did something else. And one of the questions that some of the teachers ask is, how do I know that they're actually taking notes on their computer when they're in my classroom? I said, well, you got to walk around and you got to see what they're doing. I said, I know when I took notes when I was in high school, it was, I might be writing down song lyrics, I might be drawing out football plays, I could be doing a million things. If I wasn't engaged in the class, I'm getting distracted. You know, I might be looking at the girl or the boy across the aisle, out the window. There are distractions. It's the teacher's job to try to make things, as you said, more engaging so that they're not distracted. And the technology isn't creating new distractions, creating more distraction. It's just a different distraction.
It's actually a signal that they are distracted. So I started teaching in 1990. So there was, the internet wasn't a thing.
No,
there was no one-to-one. There wasn't even email. So when my students were distracted, most of the time, I didn't even know it. They were distracted by internal things or external things, or they were bored because I wasn't interesting and they were disengaged from what I was talking about or what we were doing. So I just didn't know that they were distracted and they weren't paying attention or they weren't taking notes. The technology is just making it more obvious to me. So at first I was like, the technology is the problem. Then I realized, no, that technology is not a problem. It's just a signal that there is a different problem. Yeah. And then I got nervous, like, wow, they're not paying attention. Yeah. The technology, it's good that the technology is alerting me to this problem, and I'm going to take responsibility for it. Then I became nervous about that. But now I've come to accept it, that the technology is a great tip. It's like, these folks aren't engaged.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna beat myself up about it. People don't pay attention 100% of the time.
No, it's impossible.
I'm a faculty member at a university. We have lots of meetings, okay? So sometimes I see other faculty members, they have their phone out just below the table.
Oh, yeah.
Just like students do, right? Mm-hmm. Or they just take their phone out or their laptops out right in the middle of the meeting and they're working on it.
Yep.
So when I first got to the university, I'm like, that's disrespectful, I'm not doing that. Well, now I've been there for a while, and I do that in some meetings, and I don't in others. Now, the question is, why do you do it in some meetings, and why do you not do it in others? Because I respect the person that I'm not. It's a different level of relationship of
right.
the person who's running the meeting,
yeah.
or how useful I think the meeting is. I've just become one of my own students. Mm-hmm. So if I have something to offer my students and they value it, they're not going to take out their technology if they're interested in what I'm talking about.
So, change tacks here just a little bit. One of my pet peeves is, my son is he's going to be graduating from college in the spring. And I talk to his friends, I talk to some of my former students who have come back from college, and I ask them, what kind of technology are the colleges using? And it's disheartening when they tell me, almost to a person, that if it's not Blackboard or Moodle, they don't do anything. You know, they'll do PowerPoints or Google Slides, and that's it. There's no, you know, no Edpuzzle, no Kahoot, none of that stuff. So my question is, you're kind of bridging the gap between the two worlds of high school instruction and university instruction. How do you think we can get college professors to become more comfortable using technology in the classroom the way that a lot of high school teachers have? And if we could answer this question, we could probably go into business for ourselves and make a lot of money.
So yeah, there's a Tom Varnum integration guy at UMass, and they would love to know the answer to this question.
Right.
And they're constantly putting on workshops, and you get a handful of people, and they might try some of those things and they don't stick with it. I'm at the College of Education, so a lot of my colleagues are more invested than the other professors.
I would hope so.
Because we need to teach our students how to do this. For example, there's a colleague of mine named Michelle who, first I said to the administration, I said, we need to have Google Classroom here. And they said, why? We don't have that. We're using Blackboard. I go, yeah, but I need to use it because I need to teach my students how to use it, and I need to know how it works. And it's not free. It might be now, but I don't think it is. It wasn't a few years ago. I needed a Google domain to create it.
Right.
And so I said, we don't have a Google domain.
Actually, now you can do it with a personal Google account.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's new this year.
Yeah, it is. It's relatively
new. So this is before that, and the university is like, no, that means we're all going to have Google email addresses, and we're not going to do that. And so my colleague, Michelle, she pushed for it. She's like, no, we need to do this because we are not serving our students very well. They go into the job market with no idea how to use Google Classroom.
I gave a couple of presentations the past month at one at Maskew about teaching writing in the 21st century. My first question to the group was, how many of you are Google School? How many of you are Microsoft School? And so on, just so I knew what my audience was. 99% Google.
Yeah.
And this is high schools all over the state. So, they need to know how to use it because, you know, 9 times out of 10, any place they go, they're going to have it.
Well, now that would be the first step, would be for colleges to abandon Blackboard, because Blackboard is weaker.
And it's really old technology.
Right. And they actually, when about 5 years ago, when a whole bunch of university faculty complained about some problems with it, they took a step backwards. And it got simpler and less
robust.
Right, yet less robust. It was easier to use, but their corporate answer was, well, the college professors don't know how to use it, so what we'll do is we'll make it easier to use, which means we'll scale it back.
We'll dumb it down for the college professors. That's good.
So unless people use stuff and use it imperfectly and let their students help them with it, they're not going to do it. That's how I learned. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually know a lot less about technology than I did when I was a school teacher, because my students, like we were saying at the beginning, were teaching me every day. Like they'd even say, hey, Brown, we have a new trick. Such and such said that you wouldn't listen to this. We have a bet. Do you want to listen to our trick? I'm like, when we're done here with our work, and they'd all want to, that would incentivize them, we'll show you can show me the trick. And they show me the trick, and I'm like, okay, we'll play with this more tomorrow. And everything became play. Now, for a university professor, we don't see our students as often as a school teacher does. So we don't see our students every day. So that's a disadvantage. Number two is the students are these paying customers that are looking for specific knowledge. And the expectation of the professor is we need to give them the specific knowledge, and we don't want the technology to get in the way.
If anyone else has cars,
but
please bring them to the office.
Unfortunately, as a method of delivering instruction, we're losing ground. And then you have this other whole platform, which is online learning, which is taking over.
Mm-hmm.
But most of that is on Blackboard or Canvas, and Canvas is better than Blackboard, but Blackboard is an extremely weak, pedagogically weak platform. It has some bells and whistles that are hard to use, and they mimic an old-fashioned style of teaching. Because the people who created them have an idea about teaching. They're not real teachers, they're technology people.
Right.
And so you have this huge disconnect. You have the university, these still lecture halls, where people are doing, they think using a clicker, or maybe upgrading it to a Kahoot or a Bark, a QR code or something, is a big deal. And they're like, oh, really? That's not a very big, or then you have the online learning, where people are, they're posting lecture notes to
they're just substituting
a website,
one thing for another.
But unfortunately, the administration is encouraging that. They're like, where are your lecture notes? It's like, well, I don't lecture. Like, I'm like, I don't lecture. We don't do lectures. I have my students give presentations. Oh, well, that's hard to do in Blackboard. And I've managed to do it. But they're like, you can't do that. So I have my students upload a presentation that they give, which ends up being a screencast or a PowerPoint, voiceover PowerPoint. But that's not the same thing as actually giving a presentation.
Right.
So if we had, like during the live chat session, which is like a Google Hangout, a student giving a presentation and you had like students calling into it, like I had you on my chat, my Blackboard chat one time, Tom, but the university doesn't require a real-time session. It's only optional. They want it to be asynchronous. They don't want it to be synchronous.
That's the big word.
So there's fewer opportunities to do it, but it'll naturally happen over time because faculty will retire and the digital natives
will take over.
Will start using it more and more because they're more familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, I hope that happens sooner rather than later, but that's somebody else's circus.
It is a circus, that's for sure.
Jono, thank you for joining us today for our conversation, and hopefully we'll have you back for another episode in the future.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Good luck.
That's all for this week's episode. I'd like to thank Dr. John Brown from the University of Massachusetts Lowell's School of Education for joining me and sharing his thoughts about educating new teachers in the use of technology. I think the big takeaway from my conversation with John, and I agree with him on this, is the most important thing for both new and experienced teachers to understand is that it's not how fancy your technology is. It's not about the snazzy tools. It's about how much the technology enhances your teaching practice. If you want to leave us a voice message, you can do so from the Anchor app on your phone by clicking the message button. If you'd like to suggest a future topic or a future guest for Teacher Tech Talk, you can leave a voice message or send me an email. For my email address, check out the show notes page on my website, bit.ly/VarnumBlog. You can also find this information on the podcast homepage, anchor.fm/teacher-tech-talk. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you have a peaceful and joyous holiday season and come back in January refreshed and recharged. I hope you can join me in the new year and actually the new decade for our next episode. Remember, don't be afraid to try something new in the classroom. Catch you next time.